Forbes, Fortune, Time. These are among the world's best magazines, and they're all available on demand right in your pocket with the Texture app. Texture gives you immediate and unlimited access to more than 160 titles on your tablet and smartphone, tons of exclusive extras, and years of back issues. Explore all the topics that interest you, plus get recommended articles from Texture's editorial team. Right now, Wall Street Journal listeners can try Texture for free at texture.com/Wall Street. That's texture.com/Wall Street.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. The stock market has seen a rough week, to put it mildly. The Heard on the Street podcast offers some insight on what investors should not do when the market panics, coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Hello, and welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleague Helen Thomas.
And our colleague Spencer Jacob. Spencer, the market has had a really rough go of it these first few weeks of January. You can't blame people if they're running scared, but if I'm an investor, what is the worst thing or things I could be doing right now?
The worst thing that you can be doing is reacting in any way to the headlines. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, it really sounds strange to say that, because you think of half of the things that people do would be good and half of the things people would do would be bad. But it's been shown that the more active an investor is, period, the worse their returns are. And just to give you some sense of that, you know, if you look at the average or the typical U.S. investor as measured through mutual fund flows, they have earned over the last 30 years a return of something like 2.5% between stock, bond, and other funds, whereas the S&P has gone up over 11% per year over that time, and bond funds by 7.4%. So they've done really, really badly through poor timing, and that poor timing really hits at times like this.
Does that mean I should just go and put all my money in the S&P right now and like go away?
Well, what it means is that you do the most damage at times like this. I mean, for example, it's been measured when the average investor does the most damage relative to the index. And over those 30 years, the worst month was October 2008. You remember that was a terrible, scary month.
That was a pretty bad month.
Exactly. And the you know, if you look at all sorts of indicators of investor confidence, anxiety, and whatever, it was off the charts. But also very good months, like March 2000, which was actually a pretty good month, but a really volatile month. That's when NASDAQ peaked. That's when everybody was, you know, getting out of old economy stocks and owning new economy stocks, and those are the ones that cratered. You know, if you owned Exxon or P&G that month, you were okay. And if you, especially if you didn't do anything and sell, and if you, you know, owned Cisco or Pets.com or whatever dumb stuff people own then, that was very much, you were hearing in financial TV that you should own, then you did really badly, and you probably sold and crystallized a loss. So
Spencer, are we talking about fighting human nature and just trying to remain calm when everyone else is freaking out? Or is it about sort of swimming against the tide and going in the opposite direction to where, you know, as you say, where TV, where headlines are sort of pointing you?
You can actually accomplish both. I mean, that's the essence of the problem is human nature, is that people, you know, over 99.9% of our history, we've been rewarded for that sort of behavior, running away when we see something scary. And, you know, maybe most of the time it wasn't a lion that was going to eat us, but, you know, we were out of the gene pool if that one time we didn't run away and it was chasing us, or running towards a really juicy meal that was, freshly killed mastodon. Maybe sometimes we ran towards it and it wasn't.
Are you saying smart investing is anti-evolutionary?
It is. I mean, it's basically our brains are hardwired. And so let's say what I mean by saying you can accomplish both. Let's say you put a certain amount aside every month and then you rebalance your portfolio once or twice a year. You can do it automatically. You know, you don't have to do anything anymore. There are funds that do this very cheaply for you, and you just don't look at it. Well, that in and of itself is a contrarian strategy, because at a time like this, let's say you rebalanced this week. Well, stock market is down. Bonds have done okay. So you're going to sell a little bit of the bonds that you own, buy some more stocks at precisely the time when people are dumping mutual funds and running for the safety of bonds. Now, you might not be, and you almost certainly won't be doing that at the top and the bottom of the markets, respectively, that you're getting out of and into. But you don't have to, because the very act of just doing things on autopilot and not looking and not reacting to headlines. And I'll give you another example. If you look at the 10 best days in the market from 2000 to 2014, if you just missed those 10 best days, then you would basically would have earned almost nothing. Your money would have not been doing any work for you. If you missed the 20 best days, you would have lost something like 25%.
That's shocking to me. I mean, that so few days could make so big a difference. And so I guess what it says is, if you get scared and sit out, certain phases of market activity, you could be missing out on almost all the upside.
Well, so what I'm hearing is there is a danger in trying to be too clever.
There's a danger in doing anything at all, really. I mean, there's a danger. No, because people, I mean, most people are not very good investors. I mean, the stats bear that out. And obviously, people have an elevated sense of it's. There are some very smart guys you see on TV who are great investors, but being smart, as a matter of being smart and being well informed about finance, actually doesn't correlate very well with good investor performance. A firm called OpenFolio got access. Basically, it gave people. It said we'll analyze your investment results for free if you give us access anonymously to your brokerage account. And thousands of people have taken them up on the offer. And they looked in 2014, and they showed that people who work in finance did about half as well as teachers, you know, who are not really known for their financial savvy. So the less you know, the less confident you are, and the more you just sort of, you know, you ignore the headlines and let the sort of, you know, let the market take you where it's going to take you, the better you'll do.
Got it. That wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Heard on the Street. Be sure to check out our full Heard on the Street podcast at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.